verse 17. I'll finish my last point from you last week. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The command of all commands. The duty of all duties. The responsibility of all responsibilities is in this verse. Now that I'm a Christian, what do I do? How do I do it? It's right here. What am I to be busy about doing? What is the purpose of my life? Why did God not take me to heaven already? Why am I here? This verse tells you. It gives you purpose. It gives you a mission. It gives you a mission statement for your life. And sadly, some of you, maybe many of you, are living aimlessly. Without direction, without purpose. Just kind of taking life as it comes. I mean, this is the way of the world. This is the way of the wicked. The slogan by Pepsi, live for now, that's the slogan of the world. No end game in mind, no purpose, no objective. Just living for the moment, living for the world, living for pleasure. A lot of people are like a newly formed stream. It's a drought, it's a desert, and here comes the rain. The rain comes down, and here's all this water collecting. And what does that water do? Where does it go? The path of least resistance. Well, I'll do this for now. That comes up, well, I'll do this. That comes up, well, I'll change course again. Life gets hard, you run. When things are fun, you go to that. When things are difficult, you change course. And you're allowing your environment, you're allowing your situation, your circumstances, the good and the bad around you to control the course of your life. It's because you have no purpose, no mission. But Christians, we who love God, who have been redeemed of the Lord, we have a reason to be. We have a reason for existence. We have a purpose in life. We have something to do. And it's right here. It should be the theme of our song. It should be the theme of our life. It should be the thing that we desire to do more than life itself. We're willing to die to carry out this purpose. There's a parallel passage in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We'll see that that includes the overall picture, the end goal, and it includes every action that you do to reach that end goal. Everything needs to be done for God's glory. Everything. Two things we'll see here. For the unbeliever, this is impossible. You think you're a good person, you'll find out you come short of the glory of God, quite radically short. And for the believer, though God aids us in this, even we know we need grace. This command, this responsibility is so high, we have to approach it on the basis of needing God's grace because we fail. We fail. We're going to see that this law, this command is so high that we're going to seek to operate in humility and in God's mercy and grace. But doesn't mean we don't seek to pick ourselves back up when we fail to try again. That we really do truly, truly want to please the Lord in all things. We want our lives to be something that brings reflection to God's glory and not to ourselves. We want to have the heart and the spirit of John the Baptist, who said, I must decrease. I must become smaller in my own eyes and in the eyes of the world, so that Christ, my Savior, may increase, that he may receive the glory, the honor, that he may get the attention. I want my life to reflect upon him. I want people to see right through me to Jesus Christ. Forgetting my name, but remembering the name of the Lord Jesus who died for me. Let us become nothing, but do everything we do so Christ receives glory, honor that is due him, and we don't rob of his glory. Jesus said this way, for those who live, talking about Christians, live for Christ. To live for him and not ourselves. This is the great mission statement. What is the chief purpose or end of men? We know it's to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That is our mission. And in this mission statement, this high calling of obedience, we see two things, the why and the how. The why and how of obedience, that's what we're looking at this morning. The why. The why of obedience. We've said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The question we need to ask ourselves, why we do what we do, why we did this morning, why we chose this jacket rather than another jacket. You say, well, God's not worried about that. Yes, he is. Did it say do some things, most things, the important things, or does it say do all things? How strict is this command? Just ask yourself. Why did I choose this outfit today? Was it to bring attention to myself, or is it to bring glory to God? Don't think you won't be held accountable for your actions, your thinking, your thoughts, your behavior. And well, God's not worried about the little things. Yes, he is. Every idle word will be brought back. Every word. If it's not for the glory of God, don't say it. If you can't type it for the glory of God, don't put it on Facebook. You see, motives matter to God. Man looks on the outward appearance. Man sees what people do and praises them for their good actions. But that's how the Pharisees lived. Jesus said they make long prayers in the synagogues. But they do it in pretense. They do it to be seen. Oh, their outward actions looks good to other people, but God sees the heart, and he knows that these Pharisees are hypocrites. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. Their good actions are actually not good actions. They're evil actions. Sinful actions. Hypocrisy is a great sin, and God sees the heart. He sees the motive. Sometimes we judge people on outward appearances. We can't see the heart, can we? But trust me, God sees the heart. And that's why Paul says, you judge me, you judge me, you think I might not be as good as the other apostles, you judge me. He says, but I don't even judge myself. I don't have anything against myself, Paul said. I have a clean conscience, but listen, I can't even evaluate my motives perfectly. I'm waiting for the day of judgment, and God will be my judge on these things. He's recognizing that motives matter. So why do you do what you do? Have you thought about the little things you do? How much we do for our own attention. preaching should scare every one of us. Have I got behind this pulpit to get the praise of man? Oh, it's scary to think that I have. Have you acted overly spiritual just not to be an encouragement to others or to really because you love others and love God, but because it'll make you look a little bit better before man? Of course you have. Of course our motives are not always right. We're not aiming for the right things. So you see, the ultimate motive matters. There's often multiple reasons why we do what we do. We wake up in the morning, for instance, to go to work. That's a good motive. I need to go to work. A good motive. We go to work because we need to make a living. That's another good motive. We need to make a living because we need to take care of our family. Well, that's another good motive. We need to take care of our family because we love our family. Well, that's even better motive. We need to take care of our family because we love God. Well, that's even the greatest motive. See, there's a lot of reasons we do what we do. But we need to be able to trace all these motives that we do what we do. And there are many fine motives. In fact, you can eat, enjoy good food. In fact, the Bible tells you to enjoy your food. It says He's made all things for us to richly enjoy. So enjoy the food. And say, yeah, why are you eating this? Because I like it. Tastes good. But make sure you can trace even that motive to something higher. And if it doesn't go back to God, if it doesn't go like this, it will help me to please the Lord, to honor Him, then I won't do it. If you can't eat and drink with thanksgiving in your heart to the Lord, thank you, God, for this, then don't do it. Why do we pay our water bill on time? Because it's due. Because I made a commitment to pay that. Because it would be wrong if I didn't pay it. Because I don't want my water to be turned off. Because I like showers. But ultimately we can say it's a reflection to God. How I pay my bills. I pay my bills on time because that's how I honor God with my bills. I keep my commitments. I keep my word. I seek to be a man of my word to the best of my abilities. You see, there's always an ultimate and final end or purpose to everything we do. And if we can't see where this leads to God's glory, we may need to reevaluate what we're doing. Reassess, can I actually do this? Does this actually help me to be on task? You know, if you start a business, and I don't know anything about business, I'm trying to learn about this, but I've been told that one philosophy that will destroy a business is you forget what you're trying to do. You don't have a mission statement, you're doing this, and you try this, and you try this, and you're just stretching yourself real thin, and you're not actually accomplishing anything. It's important, if you want to get a loan, they say, from a bank, for them to know what you're actually trying to do. What is your purpose statement or your mission statement? And that way they can see your objective or goal to reach that statement is measurable and achievable. And we forget sometimes in our Christian life that there is an ultimate purpose behind everything. You know, we kind of like shotgun style. You know, well, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be friendly. I don't want to do this. And we think of all the Ten Commandments and we sort those out kind of out here. And this is where all these things we're going to do. But we got to realize all those things point to one objective. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor yourself is how you bring glory and honor to your Creator. And if we can't do things that aids us to that end, we need to maybe drop that stuff out of our life. Maybe it's a distraction. Maybe it's a hindrance. It's slowing us down. You know what? You know who gets things done in this world? There's two types of people. Those who accomplish a lot of things and those who don't accomplish much. You know the difference between the one and the other? Determination. Discipline. Not being distracted. Being on task. Staying focused. But I speak to myself, and I'm assuming you've had common experiences that I have. We watch three movies, and all of a sudden we're just unfocused. And I'm not saying watching movies is wrong. You can do watch. You can watch movies to the glory of God. But it's not long before we just begin losing our way with distractions and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. What do we want? Hopefully we can say, I want God glorified in my life. In every aspect of it. It'll determine what I eat or what I drink. In fact, that's what it says. It includes every minute aspect of our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever, that's a pretty inclusive word, or whatever you do, that's everything. Do all to the glory of God. Now, 1 Colossians 1:17, our text says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything. This includes what we eat or what we drink. It includes what we say or what we don't say. It includes every word we type on Facebook or don't type on Facebook. It includes why we wake up in the morning and why we go to bed at night. It includes why we come to church. It includes how we treat our spouses and our children. It includes how we work when we go to work. It includes how we treat our employees. It includes how we treat our co-workers, how we treat one another as Christians. It includes how we are church members. It includes how we read the scriptures. It includes our time management. It includes how we think. The Bible tells us to take captive every thought, does it not? Sometimes we allow ourselves to daydream on things that we should not daydream about. We stimmer about things that we should get over. We meditate and focus on the things that we should move on from. Because it doesn't bring glory to God to allow ourselves to think about these things. Nor does it help us in any way. Basically, it says everything. Paul says, they that which live should not live to themselves, but live unto him who died for them. Paul says, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God and your body, which belongs to God. Romans 14:8, whether we live unto the Lord. Is that your purpose? Is that why you exist? Is that what motivates you in the morning? I mean, We need to remember we come from a state of conversion and regeneration, that God redeemed us. He's given us eternal life. He's our life. He's our everything. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. I mean, do you want this world? One good thing about the world falling apart around us, one good thing about seeing our country wreck itself, one good thing about seeing the craziness happening in our very in the midst of our eyes and seeing it take place outside, it helps me go, I don't want that stuff. Get me out of here. I want a better city, as we've heard already. I'm looking for that better city that God has made and not this world has made. I want something different and better. You can have this world. You can have it. You can have all of it. I want Christ. He's the only one who's reasonable. The rest of us are foolish. He's the only one who's sound. The rest of us are unsound. He's the only one who's righteous. The rest of us are unrighteous. He's the only one lovely. The rest of us are unlovely. He's the only one who's beautiful. The rest of us are crazy. Right? We're the nuts. He's the sound one. He's the lovely one. He's the beautiful one. He's altogether lovely. Give me Christ. You can have this world. And help me while I live in this dirty, dark, filthy, ungodly world. Help me to bring glory to that precious one. Help people to see something lovely in me. It's not me. I'm as nutty as you are. It's Christ in me. See anything good in me, you don't say, good job, Jeff. I can be honest with you. I know it's not me. It's Christ. He deserves the glory, the honor of everything of my life. See, that's the why. The why of obedience. For God's glory. Now let's look at the how. How do we do this? Well, there's three things that help us. Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. First of all, as we've already alluded to, we need to do everything for a higher purpose than the moment. Eating and drinking is not what we're living for. The kingdom of God does not consist or contain in food or eating and drinking. That's not what we're here for. Now, we can enjoy all things for the glory of God, and we can enjoy the meal. A lot of us have been fasting. We probably can't wait to lunch. And we'll enjoy it. It'll taste a little bit better than it would have if we weren't fasting. It's going to be a good meal. I'm hoping for Mexican, honestly. But my life is not in eating Mexican food. Hopefully, that we're living for things that's passing away, that it's just about eating and drinking. But you know how many people are living for drugs or for other crazy stuff? That's their life. They're going from one pleasure like a dog, one pleasure to the next pleasure to the next pleasure, not thinking about eternity, not thinking about the big picture. Let that not be true of us Christians. We have a higher purpose and a higher objective, and it's God's glory. It's not even just getting to heaven. It's that God might be glorified in our lives. So we need to ask about everything that we do. Does taking this drink bring glory to God? Thomas Watson says, "The glory of God is the silver thread which must run through all of our actions." And in a sermon on this text, he gives us several ways of knowing if we're bringing glory to God in our actions. One, he says, when we prefer God's glory above all other things, above credit, above even our personal relationships, when God's glory is what we love more than anything else. Two, when we aim at God's glory, we are content that God's will should take place, though it may cross our own will. When we can say, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Third, we aim at God's glory when we are content to be outshined by others in gifts and esteem. Fourth, we glorify God by an honest confession of sin, by humbling ourselves and not taking any credit that we don't deserve. We glorify God by believing and trusting in Him. Sixth, we glorify God by fruitfulness. As John 15:8 says, hereby is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Seven, we glorify God by being content in the state in which providence has placed us. So, one thing to remember, we live for the big picture. And every little thing is going to the big picture, going to that ultimate purpose of bringing God glory. But second thing we need to remember, that everything needs to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're aiming for God's glory at the end of life. But all the steps of life need to be done for God's glory. As it says in our verse, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, have you ever given some money to someone, maybe on the street, or someone you gave in a ride to, or you're helping someone, and they're thanking you, and you take that moment where you actually act like Christ and you're doing a good deed. You take that moment and go, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And you, rightly so, it's a good thing. You rightly throw the credit on God. Thank the Lord. I do this in His name. Just know that God has a people and God is showing His love to you. Remember God by my help to you. Have you ever done that? Most of you have. I'm sure probably all of you have. All of you Christians. You need to be able to do that with everything. I do this as a representative of Jesus Christ. I do it in His name. Think about this. This will help you type on Facebook. I'm a representative of Christ, and I say in the name of Jesus these things. You can judge Christ by judging me. You can evaluate God as you evaluate my words. I represent Him. I carry His name. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, and the things I do to represent Christ. You know, you hear about fathers telling their sons, hey, you got my last name, represent it well. Don't dishonor the family name. It's not just you. You're showing our parenting skills as you go out into the world. We're showing Christ as we live our lives and say what we say and do what we do. We show Christ. Everything we do should be done to make Christ look great. What a wonderful master that servant of God must have. It would change the way we complain and gossip, wouldn't it? Can you gossip in the name of Jesus Christ? Can you look at that website in the name of Christ? Can you talk to that person the way you're talking to them in the name of Christ? Often we say, no, please. Sometimes I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. In fact, if they knew I was a Christian, it would just bring disgrace upon Christ. Let's just take a moment and say we fail God all the time, don't we? We fail God, don't we? I'm not trying to preach moralism here where we just pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, we can do it. I'm trying to humble us. Show you the strictness of the law and, hey, we're way down here, aren't we? I can't say all my thoughts. I can put the name of Christ on all my thoughts. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest, folks. It's a good thing we don't see into each other's minds. We would not be friends anymore. Thank the Lord for His grace. And you know, you can look into the mind of Jesus and know it's perfect. Here's the man, all of his days, never said an ill word. Here's a man that in all of his actions, word and deed and thought and emotions and every aspect of his life, he can say, you can see the Father in me. If you've seen me, if you observe my life, my actions, my thinking, my speech, my behavior, my mercy, my kindness, my gentleness, my humility, you've seen the character of God the Father. Oh, that we would aim for that. This leads me to my last point. How do we do this? Do everything with thankfulness. It tells us at the end of this verse, and whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. Now, this is how you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is kind of giving us a little nudge in the right direction, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's implying this, everything we do with thankfulness. Providence sometimes hard, and let's be reasonable. It can be hard and difficult to process. Sometimes your life is not easy. Sometimes it's someone less deserving that gets the promotion. Sometimes it's hard to be overlooked. Sometimes it's hard just to experience the things that you're going through. But these are assignments of God, from God. You need to look at every day as waking up and you're going to the Father and say, I'm ready to serve you. What's my to-do list today? Now, it'd be great if He sends us to Africa and we have thousands of conversions under our belt through preaching the gospel and biographies would be written about us. Oh, man, send me, Lord, send me. But the Lord doesn't say that to us. He says, I want you to get up and sweep the floor. We complain. Not sweeping the floor. No, I mean, I got to go to work and I got to clean my toys. I got to do this. I got to deal with that person. I got to handle this disappointment. That's the assignment that I have for today. That's the calling you told me to do. And we're willing to do the great things, but these little things that He gives us day to day to do, we sit there and complain. And we're unthankful about our life, unthankful about this or that. We don't have any gratitude, but you know how dishonoring that attitude is to God. I mean, we live in a wealthy time. All of us have kids, does have kids, and we give our kids, we lavish. I mean, all of us, we lavish on our kids. I know I do. In fact, if some people say, I want to get my kids only one toy, that's not me. As much as I can afford it, I want to go all out. Personally, I do. Well, I don't want to spoil my kids. I don't want my kids to be spoiled. I don't want them to be spoiled. But I like getting them gifts. I do. But you know the worst thing about kids that gets a lot of gifts? The worst thing they can do is, I don't like it. I wish I had that. Read a story about a 16-year-old girl that started crying on her birthday because she got a Lamborghini, but it wasn't the red one she wanted. You know who that describes? You. Doesn't it? God gave you His Son. He gives you life, eternal life. He's given you a good wife, a good husband. He's given you good health. What more do you want? You want someone to come sweep your floor for you? Or whatever it is that you're complaining about? You see, complaining and griping and murmuring, which the Bible says, don't let that be among you. That doesn't bring glory to God. That's saying God is not good enough. Or God's a bad master. He's a bad Lord. He's not a good Heavenly Father. He doesn't care about me. Don't blame God. He's altogether good to you. Maybe He doesn't want you to be spoiled. Maybe He's withholding some things, but He's doing it only out of love. Can you not trust Him? Us who believe in the sovereignty of God, we all should be able to do this very clearly. I would want some things to be different, honestly. But I can trust God and say, I wouldn't change a thing because He's in control and I know He knows best. Down to the hangnails. Down to the exact penny I have in my bank account. Down to the friendships I have or the lack of friendships I have. Down to every circumstance, God knows what His children need, and we can thank God that He's in control and we're not in control. We can thank God for His goodness and for His mercy and the food He presents for us. Hopefully it's Mexican. When we get that Mexican food, we can go, thank God for Mexico. For salsa. You know, and you can just like eat up and go, you know how God would be happy for us to eat our lunch? Happy eating our lunch. Christians don't have to, we don't have to be miserable grumps. We're to rejoice. In all things rejoice. We can, of all people, we can live the abundant life and we can go, man, life is good. See, let us work on practical thankfulness in everything. Thank God through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. And if we do this, it'll change our attitude and change a lot about us. The Bible tells us, it tells us not to focus and dwell upon the things we want to complain about. It tells us, especially in this day, when the news is saying all these things and we're watching all this, it tells us, now I'm not saying being uninformed. We need to be informed and we need to be aware of what's going around us. But don't dwell on that. This is what Paul says. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure. I mean, things that are in here, not out there. Whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. And that's talking about Jesus Christ, is it not? If there's any excellence, if there's any worthy of praise, that's what you think about. Think on these things. Put your mind on these things and thank God for these gains. What if the world was the way it is, but there was no Christ? Then go ahead and be miserable. But don't evaluate things as if it's just no atonement. There's no Calvary. There's no Son of God who entered into this world. Don't view your life as if you got the short end of the stick. Be thankful in all things. Some of you think you're a good person. Some of your kids think you're a good person. You think you're all right. You think you're like the rich young man who come to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, well, obey the law. What does the law say? Keep the commandments. And you're like him. You say, well, I've done that. I've done that since my youth up. I've been good. I've not been a bad person. Do you not know that you have not glorified God? You've fallen short of the glory of God. This is what the Bible means when it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even their righteousness is as filthy rags, because even their good deeds, even obeying mom and dad, has been done for the wrong reason. And therefore, all your life is characterized by sin. You need someone who can save you. You need someone who can forgive you. You need a Savior who come to die. And there's one man and only one man that's fulfilled this law. And that man is Jesus Christ. May He receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in all that we do. May we trust Him and be thankful for the rest of our days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. John